Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Welcome to Main Menu, your weekly two-hour look at technology from a blindness perspective. I'm Jonathan Mosen. The program is produced by ACB Radio Mainstream, and it's also made available to radio information services around the world. On the show this week, Just One Story, a comprehensive review and demonstration of the Kurzweil Educational Systems Kurzweil 1000 Optical Character Recognition Software. That's coming up on Main Menu. But before we begin that review, let's take a look ahead to what's going to be happening next week. We heard last week of the death of Willie Wilson, a man who brought blind people together all over the world with his BlinkLink bulletin board and BlinkTalk FidoNet Echo. It's impossible to overstate the significance of Willie Wilson in this industry. And next week, we're going to be paying a special two-hour tribute to him. We'll be doing that by speaking with people who knew Willie, and in this live program, inviting you to call in with your thoughts about Willie. You'll be able to do that through the Speak Freely Internet Telephony software or on the telephone using our facilities donated by spiderphone.com. The program will focus on Willie Wilson and his contribution, but we also hope that people will call in and talk a little bit about the BBS era in general. Because we want people from Pittsburgh, where Willie lived, to participate in this special program, it is going to be on a little earlier than Main Menu normally airs live. You'll hear it from 6:30 to 8:30 Eastern Time on Tuesday evening. That's 3:30 to 5:30 Pacific on Tuesday afternoon, and Tuesday evening, 23:30 to Wednesday morning at 1:30 Universal Time. This is a program that really does need to be heard live rather than on demand so that you can contribute. We urge you to tune in live at those times next week for this very special tribute to this very special man.
Programming on ACB Radio is made possible in part through financial support from the Verizon Corporation. Verizon, a proud supporter of ACB Radio.
Sometimes it's easy for us to forget how fantastic this technology is that many of us have access to these days. To think that we can now go to a bookshop or log on to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever it might be, download the latest book that everybody at work is talking about, and read it. Read the actual print. One of the packages that allows us to do that is Kurzweil 1000. Kurzweil 1000 is an optical character recognition software package designed specifically for the blind, and it's self-voicing. You don't need a screen reader to use it. Sometimes on the blindness technology-related email lists, there is vigorous discussion that ensues about whether it's really necessary these days to have blindness-specific OCR packages. The argument goes that there are packages such as OmniPage and others that are really cheap because they're produced on a mass scale, and they allow you to scan material, and you can save it as a Word document and read it back later, and everything's fine. There are a couple of issues with that, and of course that may be an absolutely suitable option for some people if they feel comfortable enough with mainstream technology to use it. The first is, of course, that not everybody wants to have access to a screen reader, so they can purchase this package, Kurzweil 1000, and it's self-voicing, so they don't need to have any other software such as a screen reader, and they're all set to go for basic word processing and scanning and listening to what they've scanned, as well as reading a wide range of file formats. Now, it could be argued that, well, if you gain some confidence, eventually you're bound to be tempted into the wonderful world of the web and you're going to have a screen reader or some kind of other technology. Even then, if you do get a screen reader, one of the things that's really marvellous about these blindness-specific packages is the ability to scan and read and recognise at the same time. I think that blind people use OCR packages, optical character recognition packages, a little different from the way that most sighted people use them. Sighted people perhaps scan images or text for a very specific purpose, and unless they are doing commercial work are not really going to scan a book cover to cover. But in our case, in many cases anyway, what we want to do, especially when we're reading a novel or a letter that's come in the mail and we're trying to identify what it is to scan it and immediately have it spoken. As an avid reader of books, I love the fact that with Kurzweil 1000, and in fact with a number of the other blindness-specific products, I'm able to scan a book. I could be scanning page 5, the system could be recognizing page 4, and I could be listening to page 2 or page 3. And you can actually get up quite a bit of a speed to the point that you're scanning considerably farther ahead from what you're listening to, and that saves time. Some people say that, well, you can't really concentrate on what you're reading if you're scanning as well. I haven't found that. To me, you just get into a rhythm. You sit there with headphones on or with the speech on a good set of speakers, and it's just second nature. You don't think about the scanning process. You're just avidly listening to the book. And to me, that's a huge advantage. There are many others, and hopefully we'll be able to canvas some of those. The Kurzweil 1000, it's a friendly enough package, but boy, it's powerful. And I don't know whether we're going to have a chance, even on a full 2-hour main menu, to fully canvas all of the features that are available in Kurzweil 1000, but we'll give it a good shot. We're not going to go through the installation process because I have Kurzweil 1000 on my system, and we don't want to really mess it all up by trying to install it again. But the package is easy to install. You just pop the CD into the drive. It immediately starts to talk with software speech. And the process is simply answering a series of yes, no questions. To answer yes to an option, you press the enter key. And to answer no to an option, you press the escape key. That does impose a few limitations. For example, you don't seem through the installation process to be able to install more than one SSIL synthesizer. Admittedly, not many people are going to want to do that, so those who are can probably do a bit of tinkering under the bonnet and work it out for themselves. I've also seen it bomb out pretty badly, this install, on some machines, and I have no idea what triggers it, and because you are not running a screen reader during the install, it's difficult to know, but you hear it beeping away frantically, giving the Windows error messages. But I have installed it on quite a few machines, and by and large, it works well. And for the new user, it's a painless process, and that's important. You get the option also to install larger dictionary files, and you can also install support for multiple languages. The Kurzweil 1000 through, I believe it's the Phone Engine that has the most languages, really does have a good selection there. Now, you do have to differentiate between scanning languages or recognition languages and languages that it actually speaks. The matter of speaking the languages is an entirely different matter. Kurzweil supports a whole range of synthesizers. It supports SAPI. I don't think 6.02 supports SAPI 5, but it supports previous versions of SAPI. So if you have Window Eyes, for example, and you have the Eloquence open version on your system, you can use that with Kurzweil 1000. The JAWS version is not open, so you can't use that with it. It supports DeckTalk Access 32 as long, again, as you have the version that is not tied to a particular product. If you have the version that you can get from Freedom Scientific for JAWS, you're going to have to keep JAWS running and put it to sleep. But if you have the version that you can get from GW Micro, for example, then that will work with your Kurzweil 1000. So, let's give it a spin. Once you've installed the package, it's just a matter of pressing Ctrl-Alt-K. That's the hotkey that they assign to Kurzweil 1000. One of the synthesizers that it comes with is the RealSpeak, and we've selected for this demonstration the English voice, the RealSpeak Jane, and she's going to introduce us to Kurzweil 1000 in just
Hello,
a moment.
And welcome to the Kurzweil 1000 version 6.02. Press the rectangular key at the bottom right corner of the keypad for assistance.
Now that's clear speech. They've introduced speech which is called concatenated speech, where they get a human being. I don't know, I wonder if she's really called Jane. I wonder if we can find that out. And they get a human being to make a whole lot of sounds that allow them to emulate pretty much any sound in the English set of phonemes. And that's what they've done. They say in a few years' time you'll be able to make your own speech synthesizer that way, of your favorite person, or of yourself, if you want to hear yourself on a computer. While we're on the subject of Learn Out and Houseby, and while I remember to mention this, there was a bit of concern last year over the future of Kurzweil 1000 and the impact that the troubles that Learn Out and Houseby were having would have on Kurzweil. But the management of Kurzweil Educational Systems have bought the company off Learn Out and Houseby, so all's well, and I am assured that development is continuing as we speak on future versions of Kurzweil 1000. I'm in Kurzweil 1000 now, as you hear, and it told me to press the bottom right-hand key on the keypad for assistance. By the keypad, it refers to the number pad on the keyboard, although you can plug in an external number pad if you prefer to do that. This is an interface, and it's not the only interface. We'll come to the standard Windows one after, but this is the interface that is sort of legacy stuff, really, but it's also good for newer users who haven't got a clue about Windows and don't want to have a clue about Windows. Those of you who go all the way back to the Reading Edge and even the old Kurzweil reading machines, yes, will remember the keypad with the nominator key and all that sort of thing. Well, it's similar. And I'm going to press the bottom right-hand key on the keypad for assistance, just like it told me.
The key you have just pressed is the help key. You can use it to find out the name and operation of every other key in the keypad. To get a key's name, press and release the help key, then press and release another key in the keypad. To learn more about any keypad key, press and release the help key, then press and hold down another key in the keypad. Other important keys on the keypad include the scanning key, which is the rectangular key just above the help key, and the reading key, the rectangular key at the bottom left corner of the keypad. To access the online manual, press and hold down the reading key, and then press and release the help key point. If you are comfortable with a full computer keyboard, you may wish to use the menu user interface instead. Press Alt or F10 to access the menu bar, then the arrow keys to look through the various options. To activate an option, press the return key. To get out of the menus, press Alt again.
So that's a good explanation. If you've just run the program for the first time, tells you where to from here. So let's try that. Not that we're doubting it, but let's try that. We'll press the help key.
Help.
And now I'll push the number 9 on the keypad.
Reading mode key.
Now, what does that do? So what we'll do is push help again.
Help.
And this time we'll hold that key down.
Read mode key. Press this key to switch between reading by line, by sentence, or by paragraph. This affects the operation of the fast forward and rewind keys. The system normally reads continuously. It will read word by word when the fast forward or rewind keys are tapped. It will read by the reading unit selected with this key when the fast forward or rewind keys are pressed and held until a beep is heard.
And that's good explanation. Let's just try that again.
Help.
This time we'll push the 8 key and hold
speed
it down.
Key. Press and release this key to increase the reading speed by small amounts. Press and hold down this key to increase the reading speed by larger amounts.
So, good help. And we can just press the help key and just tap each key and quickly find out what it does.
Help. Spell key. Help. Rewind key.
So it's easy to get orientated.
Fast forward key. Help. Go to page key. Help. Multiple columns key.
I'm just hitting keys on the keypad. There are a range of keypads. There's the reading keypad, the settings keypad, the file management keypad. Very similar, as I say, if you go back that far to previous versions of Kurzweil products. And we also heard in that initial help message that you can open the manual, and it said to hold down the read key and then push the help key. So I'll just do that, because that's another source of help for the beginning user.
Page 11.
And I'm on page 11 of the manual because that's where I last was when I came in here for whatever reason. I can go to the top of the file with the standard Windows command control home.
Page 1.
And
the
now,
Kurzweil
there we go.
1000 reference guide. To access an index for this guide, activate the Go to Bookmark menu item, which is under the red menu. Its hotkey is normally Ctrl R1's there. You can use up and down arrow to go through the index, or press Ctrl F and enter a word or phrase that you wish to search for.
Let's do that. The bookmark feature is something that I found very useful when doing academic work. It's, I think, the nearest equivalent that I've ever found in any software package for the blind to having a highlighter to be able to find a piece of text that you want to refer to and make it stand out in some way and highlight it. And it will do a number of things when you've created a bookmark. We'll come to that after. But one of the most significant things is that you can bring up all of those things you've highlighted in a menu. And what the Kurzweil people have done with their manual is to make each section of the manual a bookmark. This gives you a really cool index. So I'm going to press, as it said, Control R.
Select a bookmark to copyright information and notices.
So we're now arrowing through the bookmarks.
3. Getting started. 4. Where to start. 5. What is Kurzweil 1000?
I do find it interesting that they couldn't make it say Kurzweil.
6. Important concepts. 7. How scanning and ARCR work.
Okay, how scanning and OCR work, that might be quite interesting to listen to, so we'll just press enter.
Page 7. How scanning and ARCR work. When you scan a document, the scanner makes an image of the printed page, similar to a snapshot, and sends that image to the computer. The optical character recognition, ARCR, software tries to make sense of the image by identifying characters. The text that the software has recognized then appears in the Kurzweil 1000 window as a page of your scan document. Because ARCR technology largely works by recognizing letter shape, certain kinds of documents will produce better results than others. In getting the best scanning results on page, you'll find a listing of the kinds of documents that scan best. The most important thing to remember is that ARCR technology works best when documents use a clear, standard typeface. Kurzweil 1000 cannot recognize ornate or script-style fonts. It also cannot recognize handwriting. While most publication-quality books or typed documents scan well, something like a wedding invitation may not.
But that's quite a nice little introduction to how scanning and OCR work. And if you're saying, well, why does it have to say ARCR? Well, we'll show you how to fix that later. Let's close this now. I'm just going to press Control F4 to close.
The file has been closed.
The manual. You can actually have a number of documents open at once and cut and paste between them. If I press and hold down the Help key.
No document is currently open. The speed is 179 words per minute. Read by sentence. Column identification is enabled. One page will be recognized per scan. Recognition of light text on the dark background is disabled. Speck removal is disabled. The text quality is expected to be normal. Voice commands off. Kurzweil 1000 version 6.02 reading keypad. If you would like to speak to someone in customer support, call area code 888-995-9905.
888, I like that. So, that's nice and friendly. And you can get that information through the Windows-style interface, which we're going to start using from now on, really. But what it told you there was some important information. By default, these are my default settings, and I've been using this product for quite some time, so I don't recall what it actually does by default. But this is what I find works for me anyway, that if you are getting the mail in, for example, and you just quickly want to put some mail on the scanner and find out what it is, these settings seem pretty good because they recognize one page per scan. They're not assuming that you're scanning a book, really. You've got dynamic thresholding on, which means that you don't have to try and set the brightness value. It's going to try and work that out for you. The cost is a significant slowdown in the scan process, but the benefit is that you don't have to fool around with the page when you're really not quite sure about the kind of print you're dealing with. And it's recognizing columns, so it's going to try and decolumnize for you. So it's and orientation is automatic, so it's going to try and work out whether you've got the page correctly on the scanner or not, and if it's upside down, it'll work that out and behave accordingly. So that set of settings probably takes the longest, because it's really relying on the intelligence of the software a lot and the scanner engines. But the benefit is that you can pretty much put anything on the scanner and make it go. It's also quite good, actually, if you have... I've had some limited success, depending on the bottle, with wines and things. If you ever get into that situation where you've got someone coming over for dinner and you're entertaining on your own for whatever reason and you want to find a particular wine, well, it does work, at least on some. And it can scan all sorts of packets and stuff too, to some extent. So, yeah, you can be quite inventive with this. What I have here, though, is a book. It's actually a very large book. It's a hardback. I can't get 2 pages of this on the scanner, which is a little Acer flatbed one. I can, with most paperbacks and some hardbacks, get 2 pages on. But this is a pretty big one here. It's something I've got for Christmas called Helen Clark, Portrait of a Prime Minister. Helen Clark is our Prime Minister in New Zealand, where I live. The book's by Dr. Brian Edwards, and everybody's talking about it. I'm going to load my settings file for hardback books, just to show you how easy it is to scan, and then we'll go through the different options to show you how we can configure this. So, just bear with me while I put this on the scanner. And now, I'm going to go to the settings menu. Let's just quickly explore the menu bar by tapping the Alt key.
File. Has a submenu. Folder. Has a submenu.
As you would expect, I'm right-arrowing through the menus.
Scan. Has a submenu. Settings. Has a submenu. Tools. Has a submenu. Help. Has a submenu.
Help! Sounds like it really needs it. And I just tapped the Alt key to dismiss the menus. I have put the book on the scanner, and I'm going to go to the settings menu with Alt T, because Alt S is used for scanning. See?
Reading voice, Jane. Open the dialog.
Once you actually open one of these dialogs, you can then control tab between the different settings dialogs. It's a multi-page dialog.
System voice, Jane. Open the dialog. Scanning. Open the dialog.
Scanning settings.
Recognition. Reading.
I'm just arrowing through quickly.
Display. Scanner margins. Save settings. Load settings.
Load settings.
Open the dialog.
That's what we want. And also you can press F1 here, by the way. And I presume the help key on the keypad, but I'm going to press F1.
Load settings. Open the dialog. The mnemonic for this menu item is L.
So that's useful. Now let's press enter.
Select a settings file to load. Anthology.
I'm in a list box. One of the things I really wish as a screen reader user that Kurzweil 1000 would offer us is the ability to find out the names of controls that we're in. This is something that the beginning user or those not familiar with Windows is going to hate, and it needs to be an option. But I like to hear that I'm in a list box, because it immediately tells me how I should be interacting with the control. But I can push F1 here.
You are in the load settings dialog. Each of the settings files is in a sorted list. You may load any of these files by selecting an entry in the list and then pressing the enter key. Press F1 again if you would like general information about this kind of dialog control. Press F2 for a few hints about dialog boxes. Default.
I'm arrowing through. Anthology was because I had to set up a set of special things for the Beatles anthology book, which was massive, but I absolutely had to scan it.
Hardback.
Right.
Paperback. Via voice.
I don't know. I must have a separate one for via voice for some reason.
Bottom of list.
All right, now I'm going to push H to get back to hardback.
Hardback.
And press enter, and the deck talk will kick in.
Powered by DeckTalk text-to-speech technology. The settings have been loaded from Postback.
And that's the DeckTalk in the hardback setting. So what I'm going to do first is just change the speech back for the purposes of this demo to Jane.
Opens the dialogue.
So we'll go in here. It actually said Jane, but I'm sure it's on Paul. That's a bit of an interesting one.
The selected speech engine is DeckTalk Access 32.
Yeah, see, it said reading voice Jane, but when we brought it up, it actually told us that the selected speech engine was DeckTalk Access 32. Now, we're just pushing.
L&H speech real speak.
L&H speech real speak.
The selected voice is Jane. Pitch 3.
Now.
Speed is 385 words per minute.
Let's just slow that back.
275.
I'm page down to
220. 165.
Okay, well, I think we were at about 179, weren't we?
179.
Here we are.
The volume is at 100%.
Test.
And there's a test button here for this dialogue, which is quite nice.
You are currently in a dialogue box.
Right, okay. So we'll push OK. Oh, we didn't actually need to do that. One of the things that they don't have in this dialogue is an apply button, which I would love to see them introduce. But anyway, they don't, so we've
Reading
pushed OK, now we can go back into the dialogue.
System voice steady. Opens the dialogue.
And
Select
let's go in there. And do L for learn out in Houseby. And we'll change the speech to the system voice. Now, that's a good feature too, by the way, the fact that you can have different, not only different voices within the same speech synthesizer, but you can actually have different speech synthesizers for the reading voice and the system voice, which is good if you're the kind of person that needs a different voice to be kind of alerted, hey, this is a system message coming up here. I do find that there can be a considerable delay if the system has to completely switch synthesizers, though. So if you are the kind of person that likes a separate voice for reading and a separate one for system, I think it's probably better to use different voices from the same engine.
The selected voice is Jane.
Now.
Pitch 6. The speed is 385.
Let's just pump that right down.
220. 165.
Okay, we'll pump it back up to 179.
179.
There we are, and press OK. So, now, we're ready to scan something, except that although I've loaded the hardback settings, let's just have a listen to what difference that has made if I hold the help key down.
The top of the next page should be at the back of the scanner. No document is currently open. The speed is 179 words per minute. Read by sentence. Column identification is disabled. Two pages will be recognized per scan. Recognition of light text on the dark background is disabled. Speck removal is disabled. The text quality is expected to be normal. Voice commands off. Curse wheel.
So, you see, a lot of those features that were really guesswork have been disabled. Also, when we go into the settings menu, you would see that things like dynamic thresholding is disabled. As you heard there, two pages are recognized per scan, and column recognition is disabled. So it's tailored specifically for hardback books. But in this case, I can't seem to get two pages on the scanner, so I'm going to, not without a lot of fooling around anyway, so
reading.
I'm going to go into the recognition options.
Scanning. Recognition.
And just change that.
Open. Two pages will be recognized per scan.
Now, again, I imagine this is like a radio button, because, or maybe it's a list view, but you don't know. But anyway, you would use your arrow key.
One page.
And press enter. Now we're ready to scan something, so I'm going to press the F9 key. Actually, you know, one of the good things about this package is that the Windows interface and the keypad interface can be used concurrently. And I often find myself hitting the bottom, or rather the second to bottom, right-hand key, which is the number pad plus, more often than not, because it's just convenient. So I'll press that now. And hopefully it's waking up the scanner, which hasn't been used since I rebooted the computer, so it'll take a few seconds to get going. There we go. And you can probably hear the scanner whirring away there. Now, the Kurzweil will speak progress messages if you ask it to. I have a feeling I've disabled them, and we'll come to those settings a bit later. Now, the scan has finished, and it's in the process of recognizing. We can actually...
Page one complete.
Oh, we can press help to find out what it's
Perhaps
doing.
Perhaps another day. two former prime ministers, Sir Geoffrey Palmer and David Lange, provided fascinating insights into the sometimes bizarre world of party politics. My appalling ignorance of both history and politics led me to seek the help of several erudite and kindly academics, my old friend Bob Chapman, Emeritus Professor of Political Studies at Auckland University, not
so
only
reading
submitted
reading it very, very well.
To a four-hour interview, but...
Now, I've stopped reading. If I press the help key here, what have we got?
The top of the next page should be at the left of the scanner. Page 1 of 1. The current document is perhaps another day. The speed is 179 words per minute. Read by sentence. Column identification is disabled. One page will be read.
So it gave us a bit more information about the current document now, because we've got some material scanned. Having stopped the reading, I can use my arrow keys.
My old friend Bob Chapman.
I just used the up arrow to go to the previous line, and I can use the standard Windows keys that you would expect to use. For example, control right arrow would move me a word at a time.
Emeritus Professor of Political Studies.
It's not the most responsive speech synthesizer in the world, the old real speak, but if you're running this with DeckTalk or something else, it's a lot more snappy.
At Auckland University. Not...
You can also, well, we'll show you all the different features, but most of the editing keys, you can actually edit this document yourself. For example,
University, Auckland, at
So it says here, at Auckland University. So now I can actually just type in here, Jonathan's Old University, and now read that line.
My old friend Bob Chapman, Emeritus Professor of Political Studies at Jonathan's Old University, Auckland University.
So you've actually got the ability to do basic word processing in here. There's a spell checker and all kinds of things like that. So really, it will suffice if you don't have access to a screen reader and you want to write a letter to someone, do some basic document work like that. It supports bolding and underlining. And of course, saving in quite a range of formats. Let's go to the top of the page with Control Home.
Page 1. Perhaps another day.
Now, I'm going to turn the page and put the next page of the book on the scanner, which is just sort of off mic a little, so I hope you'll bear with me. And I'm going to, now with RealSpeak, this machine that I do main menu with is only a Pentium 3 450, so it's by today's standards not fast, and I don't know how it's going to cope with RealSpeak and scanning at the same time. When I'm using DeckTalk or Eloquence, it works just fine.
Another day.
So I'm reading.
Two former prime ministers.
And now I'm going
Sir
to push
Geoffrey Palmer and David
the scan key.
Provided fascinating insights into the sometimes
and
bizarre world of party.
You may be able
politics.
To. You may probably not be able to hear, but it is actually scanning.
My appalling ignorance of both history and politics led me to seek the help of several erudite and kindly academics. My old friend Bob Chapman, Emeritus.
Okay, and the scan process has finished. Now it's recognizing, and this is where on this machine, RealSpeak is breaking up. Again, you won't have that problem if you use another speech synthesizer. But it only broke up for a few seconds. The recognition is pretty much, I think, complete. And now I could scan the next page while it's reading this one. So that's the point, you see. You can really be zooming ahead pretty quickly with your scanning and reading. Very nice. So now I push the help key here.
The top of the next page should be at the left of the scanner. Page 1 of 2.
So having done a bit of basic scanning, let's explore some of the other features that we have. And we'll go through this in some sort of methodical way. Firstly with the file menu.
File has a submenu.
And we'll down arrow to open the submenu. Although let's press F1 and see what it says here.
File. The mnemonic for this menu item is F. There are more menu items within this one. Press the Enter key to access them.
Yeah, you can push Enter. I tend to go with down arrow.
New.
That will start a new document. One of the things that it might take a wee while to get used to is the concept of the current document. If I just press Enter,
Page 1 of 1.
I've now opened a new document, and I can just type in something here like the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. And now when I press the help key...
The top of the next page should be at the left of the scanner. Page 1 of 1. The current document is untitled 2. The document being scanned is perhaps another day. The speed is 107.
So you've got the concept of a scanning document and the current document. That means that you can actually do some editing in a separate document while you're scanning into another one. You do have to be careful, and you have to get the conceptual issues resolved, but you can do that. So I think you can have up to 9 documents open at a time or something like that, and it's great for cutting and pasting. If you're doing some academic work and you're scanning something, you want to take a quote and paste it into another document, you can do all of those things. I'm just going to close this.
The open file has unsaved changes. Would you like to save them?
No.
The file has been closed.
I just pressed in.
Perhaps another day.
And we're back. It told me the title of the document that is now open. So let's go back into the file menu.
File. New. Open Control plus O opens a dialog.
And this, when we go into the file open dialog.
Select one or more files to open. File list, audit office.
And we're now in what are we in?
The selected folder is general.
Okay, we're in the general folder, which is the default when you're first put into Cursor 1000. Unlike most Windows file open dialogs, you're placed in the list view of files, not in the edit field. So you would have to tab.
Enter the name of a file to open.
And then you can type in a name.
Sort by name, ascending.
This is a great feature, actually. You can sort your files.
Name, descending. Modification date, modification date, descending. Extension, ascending. Extension, descending. Size, ascending. Size, descending.
So these are all things that you can sort the list by.
Name, ascending.
And we're back to name, ascending, which is the default.
OK. Cancel. The selected folder is general.
And the selected folder thing works a bit differently. I think it's like a tree view from memory.
Kurzweil Educational Systems. Articles.
So the selected folder is a tree view. It's not the kind of combo box that you would normally expect. So it's not standard. We'll push escape. I'm not necessarily commenting on whether that's a good or a bad thing. Now we'll down arrow.
File. Open control. Close F4.
So close is actually F4, but Control F4 does also seem to work, which is the standard Windows command.
Save Control plus S.
I'm going to go into the Save dialog now, because we'll have a look at all of the different file formats you can save in.
This file has not been saved before. Please accept or change the file name. Text box, perhaps another day.
All right, we'll accept that and press the Tab key.
The current format is KES.
Let's press the home key to get to the top of the list.
Braille, grade 2.
The Cursor 1000 will both write and read grade 2 Braille files. That's quite good if you want to read a web Braille book, for example, on your computer. And maybe you don't have access to a Braille display, but you do have access to Cursor 1000, and you're in the United States, of course, which is the only country you can get web Braille. And you'd be able to download material from there and bring it into Kurzweil 1000.
HTML3.
So it will read HTML and save as HTML as well. I don't really have too much experience of how good that is.
KES.
That's the default, of course, the Kurzweil file format.
Manuscript Excel 5.0.
Yeah, okay. I think it's saying MS. Oh, of course, MS is saying manuscript.
Manuscript Word for Windows 6.07.0. RTF.
RTF is a good format to use because most people can read it.
Text. Word Perfect for Windows 6.1. Other.
Now, if you choose this other option, you get a list of literally around about 150 different file formats that you can save in. really quite impressive. We won't go through all of those now, but the upshot of it is that the Kurzweil 1000 supports a lot of file formats, so that if you need to scan material or type material and save it for a colleague, there should be a format in there they can use. So let's go back to the file menu.
File.
And just close F4.
Save. Save as.
Got save as.
Delete. Opens a dialog.
So you can do file work, manipulation, in the Kurzweil 1000.
Favorites.
The favorites feature allows you to add particular files that you use regularly to a list, so that you don't have to go around navigating the different folders or even try to remember which folder a particular file that you need to use regularly is in. This dialog would bring up the list of favorites. I don't use this feature.
Add to favorites list.
And that allows you to add a file to the favorites list.
Print Control plus P opens a dialog.
There's the print.
Summarize. Opens a dialog.
Now, the summarize feature is pretty fascinating. Let's go in there.
Enter a subject or subjects separated by spaces.
Well, this is a pretty short document, actually. In fact, why don't we get out of here and load the manual back? So we will press the reading key and the help key. You can actually do this from the help
menu
as well. Page
190.
All right, now let's go into summarize in here.
Would you like to use bookmarks to create the summary? Yes.
I'll answer no this
Enter
time.
Enter a subject or subjects separated by spaces.
Let's type the word dictionary in here.
OK.
And press enter, press the spacebar on the OK button.
Summarization in progress. Please wait.
OK, so it's busily summarizing, and it will create a document with a summary based on the word dictionary that
Page
I typed.
One.
There we go.
To access an index for this guide, activate the Go to Bookmark menu item, which is under the red menu. The inclusion or exclusion of any word, or its capitalization, in this dictionary is not, however, an expression of the publisher's opinion as to whether or not it is subject to proprietary rights, nor is it to be regarded as affecting
so you see,
the validity of any trademark.
It's given the sentence that had the word dictionary in it.
Go over this chapter, reading the sections that you need. If you're an experienced user, start with the installation and new features guide. From within Kurzweil 1000, you can choose from numerous reading voices, set the reading speed, look up words using an online dictionary.
Right, you see, so you can specify a keyword and it's going to produce an extremely expurgated version of the document just with relevant material. I haven't had a big play with this, but I can see where it might be fun.
The open
Let's get out
file
of there.
Has unsaved.
I don't want to save
the
it.
The file has been closed. Kurzweil 1.
And I'm back in the manual, which I will also close. Now let's continue our tour of the file menu. We'll just go up now. We
summarize.
Will summarize and
launch.
The launch feature allows you to, well, as it says, launch or run applications from within Kurzweil 1000. This could be quite good, for example, if you have other self-voicing applications, I guess. But you can also use it for passing documents to another application, for example, Microsoft Word.
Utilities has a submenu.
Let's have a look at the utilities menu.
Opens a dialog. Copy.
Okay.
Move. Append. Opens a dialog.
Now that's something that you can't do in too many programs these days, is append one file to another.
Extract image. Opens a dialog.
The extract image option works in conjunction with the keep images feature, and it allows you, well, as it says, to extract an image of the page, such as in a TIFF file, and send that to someone. It can also be quite good if you're debugging any problems that you're having, and you want to send something to tech support for them to have a look at.
Remove image from page.
The files get bigger if you keep image information in the file. And so there is an option here where you can remove the image from the page.
Remove all images from file.
There's a quick way of getting rid of them all.
Remove layout information from file.
The layout information can be quite useful, but again, it takes up room, and we'll try and come to that a bit later.
Remove page headers and footers.
That's a good feature, isn't it? So it can be a bit distracting if you're reading something and at the top of each page you hear a header or at the bottom you hear a footer. This will remove them for you.
Create MP3 files. Open the dialog.
Now, this is something that is going to be of interest to a lot of people, and so we'll spend some time looking at this. Creating an MP3 file. Lots of people these days have MP3 players. I myself have the phone, which we've reviewed on a previous main menu, that has the MP3 player built in. So it's a pretty cool idea to be able to scan a book and take it on the road with you on your MP3 player. To make this work, you have to have a copy of the lame MP3 encoder. This is necessary because of all sorts of licensing issues with the MP3. And because of those licensing issues, it means that the MP3 encoder to make this go is not bundled with Kurzweil 1000. You can find it easily enough on the internet. The file you need is called lame_enc.dll. And you need that file. If you do a search on a good search engine like Google, you will find it no problem. It's a very popular MP3 encoder for good reason. It's open source, it's high quality, it's reasonably efficient, and that's what Kurzweil is using. When you have the file, you have to put it in your /C/Windows/System directory. Well, there are probably other places you can put it, but it works for me, put in there. Having done that, we can press Enter on this option.
All pages will be processed.
And we have some options. This will process all pages. Turn them all. Yeah, if you've got a whole book loaded here, it'll turn it into MP3 files. Or we can down arrow.
Pages.
And it's now on pages. If I push the tab key.
Processing will begin with page 1.
You can specify which page the processing will begin with. And we're only dealing with this 2-page document here. And we'll begin with page 1.
Processing will end with page 2.
Actually, I just want to scan or convert the first page.
1.
So I've just down arrowed to 1 and I'll press the tab key.
The number of pages converted per MP3 file will be 1.
And we can go right up to
1. 1. 2.
Okay, I can't use my home and end key to go straight up, so let's just
102.
How far will it go?
200 and 300.
Oh, I wonder how far it will go.
1,000.
Okay, it goes up to 1,000, I think.
1,000.
Yep, you can have 1,000 pages per MP3 file. Bear in mind that it's going to take a long time to convert all that.
1,000.
And I've got to go all the way down with page down. Page down and page up work.
1.
And 1 in any case is fine in this case because we're only converting one page. But basically what's going to happen here is this number determines how many pages of your document is going to be in one MP3 file. So some people may want to have one page per file because the file naming convention they use will make it clear what page you're listening to. You could put it all in a playlist or something. Others will just want the whole book in a big file.
The selected audio quality is medium.
Let's just push F1 and see what it tells us about that.
The mnemonic is Alt plus A. This list controls the audio quality of the MP3 files that you will be creating. The lower the quality, the smaller the file, and the faster the conversion. For the audio files among us, low is 16 kbps, medium is 24, and high is 32. Press F1 again if you would like general information about this kind of dialogue control.
Thanks, okay. This is important if you've got limited space on an MP3 player. With 16K, you're going to get around about 14 megs worth for an hour of... No, 7 megs for an hour of reading. With 24K, it's going to be around about 11, roughly, megs for an hour of reading. I'm going to choose 24, which is actually the bitrate that main menu is encoded in. So it's on medium anyway.
The destination folder is C/mydoku1/curs1/general.
Now, for whatever reason, it can't use long file names there for the, telling you what the destination file name is, but it's going to put it by default in your Kurzweil Educational Systems General folder. I think that's because I've selected that as my current folder. We'll deal with that option later. But in fact, I'm just going to type c:\mp3, which is a directory I have here.
Browse.
We have got a browse button if we need it to find a folder.
OK.
And there's the OK button, so I'll hit Enter. Or press Enter if you're less violently.
Beginning MP3 creation. Please wait.
Inclined. And now it's encoding. What we might do is take a brief break in the interest of moving things along a little, and we'll come back when this has encoded.
One MP3 files were created. Okay.
Okay, one MP3 files were created. And what does it sound like? Well, we'll just bring Winamp up and play this file.
Perhaps another day. Two former prime ministers, Sir Geoffrey Palmer and David Lange, provided fascinating insights into the sometimes bizarre world of party politics.
So that's the MP3 file that we're listening to now.
History and politics led me to seek...
So it works, and if you speed it up enough, if you have the speech a lot faster and you encode it way down, if you don't mind a bit of grunginess in the quality, then actually you can get quite a lot onto a standard MP3 player. Now let's just go back and have a look at what else is in the utilities. I think we've pretty much covered them, but I just wanted to show you what it's like to, for example, copy or move a file.
Copy.
'Cause
open the dialog.
Windows Explorer is certainly not everyone's cup of tea, and this is a substitute.
Select a file or folder to be copied.
We're in the list of folders first, so we'll go into, let's say, My Documents.
My Documents.
I've just pushed MY, and then I push the Tab key.
File list, all attachments dot document.
Okay, this is a document that I've been looking at called allattachments.doc, and it says dot document. I'll push the Tab key.
Text box, all attachments dot document.
That's the edit box that tells us the name of the file or folder that we're copying, which in this case is the all attachments.
Sort by name, ascending.
And we've got the sort by name.
OK. Cancel.
And so if we push OK button.
Enter a new name for the file or the name of the folder which will contain a copy of it. Text box.
So now I can just type, for example, c:\temp and push enter.
Copy completed.
And so that's how you copy a file. If you don't like the cut and paste method in Windows, this is an alternative interface that you can use. Now, you can also use copy and paste in these dialogues as well, if you prefer to do that, I understand. So there's a bit of flexibility in there. So that's the utilities. Let's keep going now.
Save.
Past the utilities.
Add. Print. Summarize. Launch. Send to. Open the dialog.
This is the send to option. And before I do anything else, I'm going to turn active sync on with my Braille note. So we go to the utilities menu and push C to connect to active sync.
Mobile device connected.
And that's John Mattioli in glorious stereo telling us that the mobile device is connected. And that's something, it's a program that gets added when you install Cursor 1000 for Active Sync support. So let's press Enter and go in there and find out what this is all about.
Select a file or files to send. File list, audit office.
So the first thing we're asked to do is to select a file or file list to send. So that file there, the
audit office
one, I'll press enter on that.
The selected device is Roadrunner.
So what we're doing here is sending this file to a range of devices which are pretty commonly found within the blind community. The first one is Roadrunner. Let's look at what else there is.
Type light.
I'll just go to the home, press home to go to the top of the list.
Roadrunner.
Roadrunner's at the top, is it? Okay.
Braille note.
So the Braille note, which is what I have, is there, but we'll just continue to show you the list.
Voice note. Braille and speak. Braille light 18/40. Type and speak. Type light 18/40. Roadrunner.
And now Braille we're note. Back around the top again. So a pretty good list of devices. Braille note is the device that I have and the one that is now given focus. I'll press the tab key to move through the options in this dialog.
Properties.
So we have a properties button. We'll go in there and take a look at what that does.
Destination folder, books.
So there are two destination folders, at least in the Braille note, that you can choose from.
General.
General.
Books.
And books. And the books folder is actually the My Books folder in the flash disk, for those of you who have a Braille note.
File format, text.
Now, you can do some conversion on the fly and send this in a variety of formats. Text is the default format.
Braille, grade 2.
So you can have it translate the file and send it as a grade 2 Braille file. The advantage of that is that it is going to take up considerably less space that way.
Manuscript Word.
The old manuscript Word, Microsoft MS Word.
RTF.
And RTF.
Text.
So we're back on text.
OK.
There's the OK button, so we'll get out
of that. Select devices Braille note. Properties. OK.
And that's all that there is to it. If I pressed the OK button, it would actually start to send this file, and I could press the help message, and it would give me a progress report on how it's going. If you choose to translate the file, it does not give you help messages when it's going through the actual translation process. I think that's because it's shelling out to an external program, namely the NFB Trans program, which is a public domain Braille translator. But once you're actually sending the file, you can press the help and status key and it will tell you the progress of the transfer. So we'll just escape out of the send to dialog for the Kurzweil 1000. And that's the file menu, a brief overview of it anyway. The program also has an edit menu, which is fairly standard. We'll just take a quick look at what features that offers.
Undo Control plus Z.
Standard stuff.
Cut Control plus X. Copy Control plus E. Paste Control plus V. Cut page.
Cut page. This will allow you to move the page somewhere. It is a bit deceptive, actually, because when you press Enter...
Page 1 erased.
It says page 1 erased, which is a bit lethal, really, but it's not that bad. Some people have, I found when I've been trying to train people on Kurzweil 1000, thought that the way to undo that is to push Control-Z, which you would think would undo what you've just done. But to actually get the page back, you go to the next menu option on here.
Paste page.
Which is paste page. If I press enter on that...
Page 1 restored.
Then page 1 is restored and everything is right with the world again. Let's continue our touring of this edit menu.
Paste page. Select all Control plus A.
Again, that's pretty standard Windows stuff.
Find Control plus F opens a dialog.
The find feature is really, I think, nothing out of the ordinary what you would expect. The only thing that's interesting about it is that it's, to my knowledge, it's the only application that I know that has a find feature that doesn't let you search backwards. Let's just show you what we've got in
find
here. Okay, it's asking me what do I want to find. And I can just type in test, just for the sake of this.
Match whole words, disabled.
So, again,
case
standard
stuff. Sensitivity, disabled. Find next.
So we've got find next.
Start at top.
Start at top, which is a useful option.
Replace.
Replace.
Cancel.
And cancel.
Find test.
But we haven't got Find Previous, and I find this a huge inconvenience. It's amazing how often you just want to go back to a word, and you know what the word is. And Start From Top won't do it necessarily that quickly, because there may be a number of occurrences of the word before you get to the occurrence that you are looking for. So no Find Previous in here. We'll just keep going through the edit menu.
Replace Control plus H opens a dialog.
So you can get straight into the replace dialog.
Set page number opens a dialog.
This is quite good because if you are starting a couple of pages into the book, perhaps there's a bit of blurb that you don't want to scan or whatever, but it is important for you to tell Kurzweil 1000 what page number you're starting from the point of view of correlation between what you're reading and the real print page numbers. Very important in a textbook academic sense. You can do that in here if I press enter.
Set page number. Enter a new page number for the current page 1.
So I'll type, let's say, 212. Let's say I'm starting right in the middle of a book or towards the end.
OK.
And press OK.
The current page will now be number 212.
And now when I press the help key...
Page 1 of 2. The current...
It still tells me that it's page 1 of 2. But if I page down...
Page 213.
There we go. And page up.
Page 212.
So... The 1 of 2 tells me how many pages are actually in this file, but as I page down and I use the go to page command, which we'll come to shortly, the page numbers are now different. So that is good if you're studying. Let's just go back into the edit menu and go right down here.
Find next. Replace. Set page number. Set multi-page copy mark. Control plus M.
My understanding of this command is that it's necessary because each page is, to some extent, its own file in Kurzweil 1000. Certainly it's not easily possible to be able to cut and copy across page boundaries, and so this feature allows that to happen. You push Control-M. It's something that a lot of people like also because you just press Control-M and find the end of the material you want to select, using page down or search or whatever method you want to use, and then you can do your copying, etc.
Bookmarks opens a dialog.
That's the bookmarks feature, and we showed you bookmarks in the manual when we looked at their extensive and very effective use in that document.
Format has a submenu.
Well, there's a format menu here. Let's see what's inside.
Font opens a dialog.
So you can change the font.
Paragraph opens a dialog.
Let's go in there and have a look
at
what's...
The left indentation is 0.01.
And we'll tab through the dialog.
The right indentation is 0.42. The indentation of the first line is 0.15. Text is justified. OK.
So that's a fairly standard, fully featured edit menu.
File. Edit. Folder.
This is
sub-menu.
The folder menu.
New. Opens a dialog.
So you can create a new folder from here.
Change. Opens a dialog.
And change.
Delete.
Delete.
Favorites. Opens a dialog.
Just as we saw favorites on the file menu for opening files, you can also have favorite folders to make it easy to get to them.
Add to favorites list. New. Open.
I'll show you the change folder dialog.
Change.
We'll press
select
enter on that.
The folder you wish to change to. Articles.
Articles. Let's just go down to books.
Books.
And press enter.
Folder changed to books.
That means now that when I save a file or load one using the open command, if I don't use the controls in the dialog to specify another folder, then it's now going to be saved in the /my/documents/Kurzweil educational systems/books folder. Now there are so many useful features tucked away in Kurzweil 1000 that I'm bound to forget something significant, but while we're on the subject of folders, let me mention that the Kurzweil is also capable of handling zip files just like their folders. This is exciting because zip is a very common way of not just compressing files, but also grouping them together. So you may have a number of books in the one zip file, and they're smaller because they compress, but they're also grouped together. It's also good because if you're running out of disk space, you can make your own zip files, and Kurzweil will still offer easy access to them because they will open just like a folder, and you can look at the files inside and open them. So you don't even really know necessarily that you're dealing with a zip file. It's a very nice implementation of zip. So that's how the folder menu works.
File. Folder. Scan. Has a submenu.
Now we're on the scan menu. We showed you how easy it is. You can just use the number pad plus key to start scanning, or you can press F9, but there are other features on the scan menu as well. Let's have a look at them.
Start new scan F9.
That's the one you'll use the most often, the start new scan F9 key.
Scan repeatedly Control plus F9.
The settings dialogs, which we'll come to shortly, offer an option that allows you to specify the interval between repeated scans. Even if you set it to zero, at least on my scanner, there's a bit of a gap, which gives you a chance to turn the page, particularly if you do it as soon as the return of the scanner starts taking place. So I have my delay between scans set to zero, quickly turn the page, and off it goes again. You don't have to even put your hands on the keyboard to do the scanning.
Rescan page.
If you're on a page and you're just not happy with how well it's been scanned, you can find the page in the book again and then rescan it. And by choosing that option, it will delete the page that you're currently on and replace it with a fresh scan of the page.
Insert scan.
This is good if for some reason you've mucked it up. Maybe you're on the phone and you scanned and you found that you missed out a crucial page of the book. Then you can insert the page here.
Re-recognize page.
Now, re-recognize page is different from scanning. If you choose to have the saving of images turned on in your KES files, which is the native file format of Kurzweil Educational Systems, then it keeps the image, which allows it to re-recognize the image. You might want to make some changes to the recognition settings and have another go with a different brightness level, etc., of re-recognizing the page.
Flip sides. Open the dialog.
I guess this would be used predominantly if you have a document reader and you can scan all of one side of a set of pages, flip them over and scan the other side, and it puts them in the correct order.
Start new scan.
And then we're back to start new scan. So that's the scan menu.
Scan. Read.
Now we're on to the read menu.
Start reading F5.
So F5 will start reading. So what you're seeing, by the way, is a very good mix of everything being available from the menus and lots of hotkeys as well. And you inevitably find that when you use a program often enough, as you tend to do with a program so critical as scanning printed material that you couldn't otherwise read, that you are going to just begin gradually to use hotkeys instead of the menu options.
Start browsing Shift plus F5.
This is another example of why I'm a real fan of this application, because I think they've tried to introduce features that as best as possible emulate the way sighted people read and interact with information. The start browsing feature is an example of that, and it allows you to skim read. If you've got to get information quickly, it will read you the first sentence of every paragraph. And obviously if you hear the first sentence of a paragraph and you figure that you really need to hear more of that paragraph, you can switch back into full reading mode.
Rewind by unit F6.
You can rewind by unit, and you can specify what that unit is. Line, sentence, and other options. We'll show you how to do that soon.
Read current unit, F7.
Read current unit.
Forward by unit, F8.
F8. So there's a logic there. F6 is previous, F7 is current, F8 is the next unit.
Spell control plus L.
That will spell the current word you're on.
Define control plus D.
Define. This is the dictionary that's in the Kurzweil 1000. I find this really useful. I know that there are lots of Windows dictionaries around, and from time to time I use dictionary.com, which is pretty good. But this is good. Let's just find a word here.
Steve. Kirk. Of. Info. Centimeters. Research. Both.
Let's try research, shall we?
Research.
So I'm on research, and all I need to do to get its definition is press Control D.
The word to be defined is research.
Now I press the Tab key.
1. Scholarly or scientific investigation or inquiry. See note at inquiry.
And press enter.
2. To study something thoroughly so as to present in a detailed, accurate manner.
And then you can just push escape to get out of it.
Women in the House. Publish.
Now we're back in the document.
Start reading.
We'll just keep going through the read menu.
Define control plus D. Thesaurus Shift plus F7.
Right, and it has a thesaurus. It, I think, is a little better than the Microsoft thesaurus, which is somewhat sanitized. Many of you may have read articles about this. Every version of Word that comes out seems to have an increasingly sanitized thesaurus, which is really scary stuff. But anyway, we'll push enter on this, and we should be able to... In fact, can we get the word research back? I'll just go to the top of the file,
page,
I think, and do a search on research.
Found research on page 212, line 16.
And you see it's kept that page number. Now I'm going to press the thesaurus key, which is Shift F7. That's a good key, because many people will be used to that if they're a Word user.
Synonyms will be found for research.
That's right, so we'll push tab.
1. Dig.
Did, okay.
2. Probe. 3. Scout.
I'm just pressing enter.
4. Explore. 5. Investigate. 6. Delve. 7. Inquire. 8. Reconnoiter.
Wow.
9. Look into. 10. Study. 11. Con.
And that's the end. That's there in the read menu, which we'll pop back into now and arrow down.
Thesaurus shape. Increase reading speed F12.
You can increase and decrease the reading speed.
Decrease reading speed F11. Go to page Control plus G opens a dialog.
So if I did that...
Go to page. Please enter a page number.
And if I type 213...
Page 213.
Now you see the importance then of getting the page numbering right, because if you're in a lecture or something of that kind, and you've done it correctly, and the lecturer says, I'd like you to turn to page 312, and you can just press Control G and type in 312, and you're there instantly. Let's go back to the read menu.
Start reading.
Arrow down here.
Increase readings. Go to bookmark. Control plus R opens a dialog.
That's the go to bookmark command, which if bookmarks are set, will allow you to go to the bookmarks, funnily enough.
Insert bookmark, Control plus B.
Let's do that. So you can push Control B and insert a bookmark. You can change that if you're saying, well, Control B should be for bold. Well, there's a lot of debate in the Kurzweil 1000 community about that very subject. So it's a toggle now. Now, before I set a bookmark, I'm going to go back up to page 212.
Page 212.
Let's just arrow down here.
Only submitted with his wife Noline to a 4-hour interview, but answered endless phone inquiries about New Zealand.
All right, let's put a bookmark by the word New Zealand.
Only Zealand. New.
Now I'm on the word new, and this bookmark is going to be entitled whatever I select. So if I select New Zealand with the normal method, I hold Control Shift down and do right arrow.
New Zealand.
And now press Control B.
A bookmark has been created for the current position in this file.
Now I can go to Edit.
Undo
and up arrow.
Format. Bookmark.
Enter bookmark.
212 New Zealand.
Here we go, 212 New Zealand. And I press the Tab key.
The bookmarks are sorted by page number.
That's fine.
Do not chime when the K1000 reads past this bookmark.
This is a great feature, because if you want to be reminded when you've come across a bookmark, you can toggle this.
Enabled.
Right, so now it's enabled to chime.
Delete.
We don't want to delete it.
Okay.
Now I'm going to read the sentence from here.
My old friend Bob Chapman, Emeritus Professor of Political Studies at Jonathan's Old University, Auckland University, not only submitted, with his wife Noline, to a 4-hour interview, but answered endless phone inquiries about New Zealand elections since...
There we go, you see, it chimed because I'd asked it to chime when it came to that bookmark. So you can imagine that when you use bookmarks properly, especially in an academic text... And you hear that chime, it really is like, and you can access them from the bookmark menu where they all appear in a nice ordered list. It really is like having highlighted something, as a sighted person would do when they are studying. So let's go back into the read menu. I don't think there's much more.
Say selection, insert book.
Yes, and then there's...
Say selection, Control plus Y.
So if you want to hear what's selected, you just press Control Y. So that's the read menu. Let's continue our tour of the Kurzweil 1000.
Folder. Scan. Read. Settings.
Now we're into the settings menu. I always like the settings menus of programs because you can really determine what's going on there, how configurable they really are. So let's go into the... We've already showed you the reading voice and the system voice, so we won't go back in there.
System voice scanning opens a dialogue.
Now, I'm now running my default settings, by the way, and we're in going into scanning. That's because I've started and stopped.
The mode is scan and recognize.
Recording, since we last had the other settings file loaded. Now, the mode is scan and recognize, and we have a number of options there.
Recognize image files. Image scanning only. Scan and recognize.
So, you can recognize image files. In other words, if the image files exist, then you don't actually physically use the scanner. It just scans images. That could be quite useful, for example, if you have a fax file, a file that's been created by a fax application.
Automatic page orientation will be used.
So there are a number of options here. Automatic page orientation will check every time you put a page on the scanner and work out which way's up.
Back of scanner.
You can specify the orientation. The difference in speed on today's computers is negligible, but every bit of speed helps for some people. So if you know that the page is going to be at the back of the scanner, the top of the page, then you can disable the guesswork.
Right of scanner. Front of scanner.
I'm just arrowing through the options.
Left of scanner. Set once per document.
What that does is the first time you put a page on the scanner, when you open a new document, it'll get the orientation for that first page, and then it will assume that all subsequent pages are the same orientation.
Dynamic thresholding is enabled.
This is good for documents where you're not quite sure about the print quality, ideal if you're sifting through the morning mail, and it does take a lot longer to scan, but it doesn't require you to get the contrast right. It attempts to do that itself.
Scanner brightness is 50.
The scanner brightness setting isn't going to make any difference when dynamic thresholding's turned on.
The delay between repeated scans is 0 seconds.
That's the delay between repeated scans that I mentioned earlier.
The scanner resolution will be 300 dots per inch.
So it supports 300 and...
400, 200, 300...
So 200 through to 400 dots per inch.
The selected scanner source is MirrorScan V3.40.
That's the one I'm using at the moment because I have an Acer scanner.
No image prefix is in use.
Let's press F1 and find out what we can do here.
The mnemonic is Alt plus P. You are in a combo box that allows you to specify a prefix for batch scanning and recognition. When you are creating image files, the prefix will be used to keep your image files separate from other image files that may be associated with a different document. When you are recognizing image files, the prefix will be used to find the appropriate set of image files. You don't need to specify any prefix at all. They are useful when different people use the product, and when those people create image files for later recognition. Press F1 again if you would like general...
So there's context-sensitive help there.
Okay.
And that's the scanning settings.
Scanning.
Now I'm on the scanning tab of the multi-page settings dialog, so I can press Control tab from in here.
Recognition.
And now I'm in the recognition settings.
Column identification is enabled.
If you know that there are columns on a page or you're not sure, then you can enable them. The only time that that may cause you a problem is if, for instance, you're looking at a table of contents, and in that instance, you wouldn't really want column identification turned on because it's going to read all the chapter headings as one column and all of the page numbers as another.
One page will be recognized per scan.
If you can fit two pages of a document onto your scanner, such as a small paperback, or you're really clever and you get the margins just right and you can get two pages of a larger hardback on there, then you can turn two-page mode on, and it just makes sure that the pagination is kept correct.
Recognition of light text on the dark background is disabled.
What does it say about that? That's a technical one.
The mnemonic is Alt plus W. Use this list to enable or disable the detection of light text on the dark background. Recognition assumes that text will be printed in a darker color than its background. This is usually the case. By enabling white on black detection, extra processing will be done to also find and recognize text which is printed in a lighter color than its background. Enabling this feature will slow down recognition slightly. Press F1 again if you would like general information.
And if you need more information, it's even more detailed in the manual.
English will be recognized.
There is just a huge number of languages. Not just languages in terms of spoken languages, but also Fortran, I think Pascal's in there, C++, Java, and some very, shall we say, unique languages, including Māori, which is the native language of the country I come from, New Zealand, Samoan, and all sorts of things. Big list. And if you don't feel you have any need for these languages, you don't have to install them. That's one of the options you're given when you install Kurzweil 1000.
Speckle removal is disabled.
Let's talk about speckle removal. Jane, what are you talking about?
The mnemonic is Alt plus K. Use this list to enable or disable the despeckling filter. When enabled, this filter will search for and remove small specks in the image before character recognition is attempted. This may help recognition on documents which contain speckled backgrounds, such as some spreadsheet printouts. It will slow down recognition by a few seconds per page. Press F1 again
okay.
If you would like. The text quality is expected to be normal.
And the options we have are...
Draft quality dot matrix. Degraded. Normal. No markup will be used for illegible characters.
Yeah, that's good. You can have a number of other... options so that when a character is not recognized, you see a markup character.
Tilde.
Tilde is one option.
Add sign. Caret. Number sign. Asterisk. None. Tilde.
So
none.
We're back on none now.
Partial columns will be ignored.
This is one that can really make a bit of a difference. Let's hear about that one.
The mnemonic is Alt plus P. Use this list to ignore or key partial columns. A partial column is one whose left or right edge probably overlaps the edge of the scanner. You should generally key partial columns, but it is useful to ignore them if you are scanning documents which are wider than the platen on your scanner, such as newspapers. Press F1 again if
all
you
right.
would. Blank pages will be ignored.
This is important if you're trying to keep the page numbers in sequence. Again, if you're scanning a textbook and the page number's important, you might want to be careful with this option.
The selected recognition engine is FineEngine.
Now, you have FineEngine.
RTK.
And RTK.
FineEngine.
Now, they're two quite separate scanning engines. I think that RTK is faster. And again, if you'll pardon me, I'll just see what the F1 has to say about these two choices.
The mnemonic is Alt plus N. Use this list to select a recognition engine. The Kurzweil 1000 comes with multiple approaches to the difficult task of converting an image of a page into readable text. Each engine has its own strengths. Press F1 again if you would like to.
All right, well, I think RTK is faster. I think FineEngine tends to be a bit more accurate, but sometimes when you're scanning a book that is really well printed, like a brand new one, RTK may be a little bit faster and get the job done just that little bit quicker.
Okay.
All right.
Recognition.
So that's the recognition settings. Let's continue on to the next tab of this multi-page dialog. All of these options are available from the settings menu, by the way.
Reading.
And we've got reading options here.
Read by sentence.
And we have...
Line. Paragraph. Sentence.
Sentence, line, or paragraph. That controls what the F6, F7, and F8, the prior unit, current unit, and next unit keys do.
Word and character echo is disabled.
You'll find this feature in most talking applications.
Characters. Words. Both. Disabled.
And it just controls what you hear when the keyboard is used, I like having nothing heard at all.
Page header and footer avoidance is enabled.
This feature, and bear in mind that it is in the reading settings, does not affect whether the headers and footers actually are kept in the file. That's a separate option. All this does is determine whether the headers and footers are going to be spoken or whether when you're reading it's going to attempt to skip over header and footer information.
Some punctuation marks should be spoken.
Right, well again, this is something you would find in most self-voicing or screen reading applications. We've got some at the moment.
All. None.
None.
Some.
And some.
Numbers will be spoken as full numbers.
And again, we've got full numbers.
Single digits. Full numbers.
There we go.
The language being read will be evaluated once per page.
And you can choose from
per paragraph, disabled,
per page, per paragraph, or disabled.
Blank line reporting is enabled.
So it will say blank when you arrow over a blank line.
Duration. Continuous reading will not be stopped based on a timer.
This is good if you're recording a book onto cassette. You know, it's quite easy to connect a cassette deck, let's say, going from the line in jacks of the cassette deck to the line out or speaker output of your sound card. And so you may want to set this timer for 45 minutes or something if you have a C90.
One.
Now this is in minutes, so we can just go up to
one.
How high can we go?
301.
Oh, quite a few. So anyway, you can set the number of minutes you want it to read for before it stops.
Tables will not be identified.
The Cursiva 1000 does have a very nice table reading mode. It sometimes sees tables where none exist, and it's a tricky thing because obviously you're not reading a file where there are clear table codes, but more often than not, when you've got tabular data, it does a really good job of navigating tabular information. It's probably a slightly complex area to go into, but I do want to point out that it's good, and that if you have cause to be dealing with a lot of figures or, well, who doesn't have to read a bus or a train timetable or whatever, it's great.
Line endings will be ignored by the editor.
That's fine. You can also choose to
respected.
Respect them.
Traditional shortcuts will be available.
And we can have traditional shortcuts or
emphasize format editing.
So what this does is keys like Control B, when you emphasize format editing, become bold, and Control I for italics and U for underline, etc. Which are, well, it's interesting that it says traditional because they're traditional to Cursiva 1000, but of course Control B for bold and things are traditional to all other Windows applications.
Okay.
That's the OK button. And let's continue on.
General.
We're into the general settings now.
Progress messages will be spoken.
So you can hear about the percentage of the scan, the percentage of the recognition. If you're continuously reading, you don't hear that information. It doesn't interrupt the reading to give you that information.
Chimed.
You can have chimes as well.
Disabled.
Or disabled.
Keypad commands are enabled.
So you can disable the keypad, which could be good if you are using a screen reader with Cursiva 1000.
Active speech is enabled.
Now you can turn this off, and you could also turn the keypad off, and you've effectively got an application that's more dependent on your screen reader. So you can use JAWS or WindowEyes or HAL or whatever with your Cursiva 1000.
The hotkey for scanning is Control-Alt-S.
That Control-Alt-S will work anywhere, and you can change that hotkey. And that means that you can be surfing the web or doing email, and when a page finishes, you can hit this scanning hotkey even without giving Cursiva 1000 focus and go ahead and scan the next page.
The keypad layout is like a calculator for the entry of numbers.
So this is, I guess, satisfying people who are used to telephone keypads.
Telephone.
You can turn it into a telephone keypad type layout.
Calculator. Automatic document loading is disabled.
This will load the documents that you were last in when you next open Cursiva 1000 if you turn this on. You can, of course, just exit all documents and then exit Cursiva 1000, and when you load it again, it won't load anything. But if you're working on a big project and you have 7 or 8 documents in specific places open at once, but you need to perhaps reboot this is Windows after all, then you can have this feature turned on. It can be quite handy.
Operator-defined page numbers will be used.
You know, if you don't know what an option does, it's only an F1 key press away.
The maximum line length for text output is 0.
Well, that's fine. There's a lot of flexibility in terms of the way that documents are formatted here.
Automatic corrections are enabled.
This feature governs whether corrections are automatically going to be applied as soon as a page is recognized. We haven't come to corrections yet, and so we'll talk about them more when we get to corrections, because they're a good attractive feature of the application.
Correction of end-of-line hyphens is enabled.
That's to do with the way that hyphens obviously are dealt with.
Images will not be kept in the recognized file.
Right, so this deals with a matter that we were talking about earlier. If you turn on images, obviously the file is going to be a lot bigger, but it does give you greater flexibility when trying things out. Earlier, we were talking about the two scanning engines that you have the option of using in Kurzweil 1000, the Fine Engine and the RTK. The best way to get a feel for which engine is the most appropriate in any given situation is to actually try them both. And one of the easiest ways to try them both is to enable the keeping of images so that you can then recognize the page once with Fine Engine and again with RTK and see what goes on.
Layout information will be kept in the recognized file.
Now, again, we haven't done much with layout at this stage, and we'll see if we can get to that before the end of the review.
Okay.
And that's the okay.
General,
let's go on.
Display.
Well, we've got some display settings here.
Text will not be highlighted, nor will lines be tracked, as they are spoken. The text color is white. The highlight color is yellow.
I'm tabbing through the dialogue.
The background color is black. The block highlight color is blue. Use of a single specified font is disabled. The magnification level is 1. Okay.
So there are some basic large image and customization features for those with some vision that will hopefully help people with a range of needs in that area.
Margins.
Now we're into the margins.
Margins are disabled.
There's some time saving that can go on here. There's also some messy stuff that can go on here. Let's go to
auto size.
Well, we'll skip that for the moment.
Enabled.
And choose enabled, and then we can tab through here.
Margins will be expressed in inches. Centimeters.
Well, now what to do with inches? Right, now we're into centimeters.
The back margin is 0.0.
So now, the back margin is 0.0 centimeters.
The front margin is 0.0.
So as you can see, it's scanning the whole scanner platter at this stage.
The left margin is 0.0. The right margin is 0.0.
So you can adjust all of those.
Okay. Margin.
If you really get expert with this, you can save yourself lots of time.
Reading voice.
And now we're back into reading voice. There are some other settings in the settings menu.
Reading.
Just go down here.
System. Scanning. Recognition.
See, we've been
reading
through all these.
General.
And
display.
Display.
Scanner margins. Save settings.
Now,
open the dialog.
Save settings. You can appreciate that by the time you've customized the voice and you've set up the engine and all of these different things you can do, you don't want to keep doing this. And so you can save a good library of settings files, because sometimes you're going to have things set a certain way, maybe if you're reading a paperback book, and other times if you're reading a magazine or a glossy brochure or whatever, you're going to have things set up another way. So you can build up a library of these things, and this is the command that you choose to save it. It will just ask you to offer a file name, and that's all there is to it.
Load settings.
And then you can load
open
the settings.
Open the dialog. Delete settings.
And delete them.
Reading
voice. And now we're back round. So that's the settings menu. Lots of good stuff in there. Let's continue touring the menu
red
bar.
Settings. Tools.
Now we're into tools.
Has a submenu. Apply corrections.
So we've got apply corrections here, and this once again refers to corrections. You would use this option if the automatic application of corrections wasn't enabled in the settings options that we showed you earlier. Now we'll come back to corrections in just a second.
Check spelling control plus K opens a dialog.
Nice and accessible, as you would expect from a self-voicing application.
Reading voice.
Now the Alt-O is the tools menu.
Apply corrections. Check spelling. Edit corrections. Opens a dialog.
Now, there are a couple of elements to this corrections thing, which we'll talk about now. The first is that when you start to scan, you realize that there are certain words with certain recognition engines that seem to get misrecognized quite often. And, you know, the S's being seen as other letters and different things, maybe O's being seen as C's, etc. And you can tell Kurzweil 1000 that whenever it sees a word that's spelt a certain way, it needs to automatically correct it. So you can use this principle both in the spell checker and in terms of scanning errors. You can then save those corrections into corrections files, because it's possible that you're using this application for a very technical kind of subject, where there are jargon words that may be misrecognized by the recognition engine because it doesn't see it in its vocabulary, and it's not in the spell checker list. But you may not want those corrections slowing things down, being searched for when you're reading for pleasure. And so you can save corrections in files and load them as appropriate. And I believe that there are some pretty incredible corrections files floating around, where people have taken the time to put quite extensive errors and fixes into a corrections file for smoother scanning.
Edit spell checker word list.
Now, the edit spell checker word list, again, sometimes you add a word to the spelling checker because you're convinced you're right, and then you find that you're not, so you can go in there and delete it or modify it.
Edit pronunciations.
Now,
opens a dialogue.
This is something that you very frequently find in speech-based applications. You can edit the pronunciations with this option. If we go down,
new pronunciation, Control plus N opens a dialogue.
So Control plus N is not going to create a new document, which is another thing that gets me every time. And I've been using this for years. You just get so used to doing Control N and everything, but not here.
Recognize currency shift plus F9.
To the best of my knowledge, this only works with American. It may work with Canadian currency, I'm not sure. Certainly doesn't work in my part of the world, but if you are in the US, most certainly you can put a banknote on the scanner and press shift F9, and it will tell you what it is, all built into Kurzweil 1000.
Generate bookmarks. Open the dialogue.
This seeks to take prominent bits of the text and make bookmarks out of them. It's one of those automatic generating features. It sometimes works well depending on the document, and other times it doesn't, but you can give it a go and have it automatically generate a series of bookmarks for you.
What time is it? Control plus T.
Often people have utilities that synchronize their computer's clock to the atomic clock, which makes their PC clock the most accurate in the house. And if you're feverishly working away on a document, the time's only a keystroke away.
Select corrections file.
As I mentioned
the dialogue
earlier, this allows you to select a corrections file.
Define a word. Open the dialogue.
This allows you to use the dictionary without having to select a word.
Recognition statistics.
This is really, really interesting. Let's go in here.
Last page. Cumulative. Poorly recognized pages. Last page.
What I like about the
opens a dialogue.
Newer versions of Kurzweil 1000 is that it does tell you when a page is poorly recognized, which is a good warning, especially if you're reading some pages back. Now let's have a look at the last page statistics.
0 characters were recognized per second.
I see, so we have to scan something first. But we'll tab through this and we'll show you the kind of information one gets.
0 characters were recognized per second. Confidence, 0%.
So that's a cool statistic, tells you the confidence that that you're getting accurate information.
Character count, 0. Illegible characters, 0. Questionable characters, 0. Touching characters, 0. Broken characters, 0. The elapsed time was 0 seconds. Automatic corrections, 0. Okay.
So it will tell you how many automatic corrections it applied as well. Let's continue our look at the menu.
Explore layout. Open the dialog.
The Explore Layout feature can be particularly useful if you're dealing with a complex page. And before the end of the program, I am going to scan something a bit more complex. So let's come back to that.
Show Image Control plus W opens the dialog.
If you've scanned something and you want to display the actual image of the scan on the screen, in other words, it doesn't convert it to text, it just displays on the screen what is scanned, you can do that from the Tools menu. And that is the Tools menu. Let's just keep going here.
Window.
And the window menu is pretty standard stuff. If you have multiple documents open, you can switch to those using that window menu, or you can use Control Tab as you do in most of these kinds of programs.
Help.
And then we're at the Help menu, and there are quite a range of options here.
Reading status, page 1 of 2. The current document is perhaps another day in folder general. The speed is 179 words per minute. Read by sentence. Column identification is enabled. One page will be recognized per scan. Recognition of light text on the dark background is disabled. Speckle removal is disabled. The text quality is expected to be normal. Voice commands off. Kurzweil 1000 version 6.02 reading.
So you can hear that this is exactly what you get when you hold down the help and status key. Let's keep going.
File management status.
Let's hear that.
The current folder is books. The current file is perhaps another day in folder general. Kurzweil 1000 version.
And then it keeps repeating the version info, etc.
Settings status.
Settings status, so we can quickly get a grip on the settings.
The reading voice is Jane. The system voice is Jane. Automatic page orientation will be used. Calculator keypad layout. Progress messages will be spoken. Dynamic thresholding is enabled. The mode is scan and recognize. Margins are disabled. Automatic corrections are enabled. Partial columns will be ignored. Some punctuation marks should be spoken. Numbers will be spoken as full numbers. English will be recognized. Automatic document loading is disabled. Kurzweil 1.
So it's a quick way of hearing how those settings are set. It's a bit more efficient in some ways than exploring around those big dialogues.
Open the manual.
So you can open the manual from this menu as well.
Quick reference.
And there's a quick reference as well, which can be quite handy for quickly finding things. And you can send that quick reference if you have a Braille printer or a Braille note taker of whatever kind. You can send it there too.
Reading status.
And now we're back at reading status. So to finish the program, let's try putting it all together. I have on the scanner now the latest consumer magazine. I belong to the Consumers Institute and get their magazine, which has all sorts of interesting reviews about things. I've got a great article this month about DVD players and VCRs and things. So I've put a page at random on the scanner, and I've turned everything on. I'm going to have it keeping images. I have the dynamic thresholding enabled, and I have it working out the orientation. And now I'm going to press the scan key, and it should start scanning in just a second. And we'll demonstrate how we can, in particular, explore the layout in a situation like this.
Scanning, please wait.
Now, it makes a hideous noise on my scanner when dynamic thresholding is on. Sounds
scanning
very unhealthy.
Is one quarter done.
Now I've got progress messages talking as well on this.
Scanning is three quarters.
And the scanning complete. Is done. And the scanner has now returned and stopped making its noise. So the recognition phase is now happening.
Recognition complete. The top of the page was at the back of the scanner. Page 1 complete. Gift vouchers. Get a gift voucher for Christmas. It can be a great way of buying just what you want, but don't let it linger too long in your wallet or under a magnet on the fridge. You could lose out. Here's what you should be aware of. Gift vouchers are not the same as cash, rather, they represent goods to the face value of the voucher. So traders don't have to give change if you choose goods less than the voucher's value, unless the voucher says that change will be given.
So there's an article there about gift vouchers, and that's reading it so far very well. Now, I mentioned that we'd come back to the explore layout feature, because as somebody who has been blind since birth, I find the way that print is laid out on the page fascinating. And this gives you a really good feel for the way the page looks, which you may or may not be interested in, but it can be quite relevant in terms of perhaps dealing with some issues with the page. I'll go into there now, the tools menu, you recall.
Apply corrections.
And we'll up arrow.
Show image. Explore layout. Opens a dialog.
And press enter on that.
The page contains 7 text regions and 12 pictures.
That's interesting, isn't it? So it's got 12 pictures in there and 7 text regions. Now I can press the tab key.
Text region 1 contains 30 lines. It begins with gift vouchers. Get a gift voucher for Christmas.
It doesn't say the word voucher terribly well, does it? But now I can just press down arrow.
Text region 2 contains 30 lines. It is to the right of text region 1. It begins with the owner of the business may change this to can.
All right, we'll keep going.
Text region 3 contains 22 lines. It is to the right of text region 2. It begins with updates Gold Coast marketer in court Dudley James Quinlivan.
So that's a different article, and it's over to the right of this article that we've been reading.
Text region 4 contains 2 lines. It is underneath text region 3. It is to the right of text region 2. It begins with Gold Coast property scam.
Right.
Consumer 400.
So that will be the second. I imagine that text region before it was the heading of the article, and this is the first paragraph of the article, and again it's on the right of the one that we're reading. So it goes on like this, and you can get a feel for the way the page looks.
Text region 5 contains 31 lines.
Now, there are some other controls in this dialogue. Let's explore them.
Up, down.
So we can move these regions around, restructure the page, in fact, and that can make it easier in the event that it doesn't read it terribly well for whatever reason. It's made some bad judgments about decolumnizing, which doesn't happen that often.
Select.
We can select it. If I press the space bar.
Select.
And now we should be back in our document, and the region is selected, which means we can do all the things that you do when something's selected. You can copy it to the clipboard and paste it somewhere else. You can cut it and paste it somewhere else in the document. You can delete it. So it's a really powerful tool. While we're in here, you'll recall that we were discussing different scanning engines before. I have Fine Reader turned on by default, and I've made sure that images are kept. So we'll go into the settings menu.
Reading voice, Jane.
And arrow down to recognition.
System scanning. Recognition.
We'll press enter to get in
dialogue.
There. And we'll just change the engine.
Record. Cancel. Okay. The selected recognition engine is Fine Engine. RTK.
RTK. Doesn't she say that beautifully? You could listen to her saying
RTK. RTK.
All day. I could anyway. No, we'll push enter to get out of the dialogue. And now we'll go into the scan menu.
Start new scan. Flip side. Re-recognize page.
And press enter. And it's going away to do that with RTK selected now. So it doesn't use the scanner because it's using the image.
Recognition complete.
There we go. Simple as that.
The top of the page was at the back of the scanner.
Let's see how it does.
Page 1. January/February 2002 Consumer 411.0 Get a gift voucher for Christmas. It can be a great way of buying just what you want, but don't let it linger too long in your wallet or under a magnet on the fridge. You could lose out. Here's what you should be aware of.
So, gift voucher. Not too much difference there. It's done a nice job with that, and it is a little faster, but you will see that the performance varies on some documents quite markedly. Right, I'm going to exit this without saving it.
The open.
Because there's one.
The file has been closed.
There is one thing I would like to demonstrate just in finishing, the grand finale, if you like. PDF files, they're everywhere. And some would say that PDF access has improved a lot since Adobe released Acrobat Reader version 5, and some screen readers have started offering active accessibility support. Well, I guess it's good for many people because as long as you download the reader, you don't have to worry about complicated access plugins and things. But I'm afraid I still find that the very best way to read Adobe Acrobat documents is with the latest Kurzweil 1000. In particular, it's the only way that I have to read them if you've got a PDF file and you find that it's a scanned image. You're not going to have any luck with Acrobat Reader in that situation, but you may have some luck with Kurzweil 1000. What they do is they actually take the image of the document and recognize the image using their OCR technology. Let's try that by doing a Control-O to open a file.
Select one or more files to
open. I'll push Tab to get into the edit box.
Enter the name of a file to open.
Now, it just so happens that I've organized a flight to do some consultancy work in Auckland, and they've sent me the electronic ticket as a PDF file. So I'm going to type c:\temp\travel.pdf, which is what I've called it, and press enter. Listen what happens.
The selected file is being written as an image which will then be recognized. Please wait. Cancel.
So that's going on now, and it does take a wee while. I think it's fair to say that it takes a bit longer, quite a bit longer, than the process of using the MSAA solution in Adobe Acrobat Reader 5. But to me, the advantages outweigh that delay. Specifically that it will pretty much convert most PDF documents, especially all those that have images, as I mentioned before. And also that you can do quite a lot of exploration of the layout and get a real feel for how the document is structured. So there are benefits. If this takes much longer, I will probably pause the recording and come back, but I don't think it will take too long because the document consists of just a couple of pages. I think there's the time, the itinerary, and then there's the
recognition
receipt.
Complete.
There we go.
The top of the page was at the back of the scanner. Page 1 complete. Flight arrives status. Flight class departs NZ8686 economy on the 13th of February 7th AM 8 AM confirmed / paid NZ8685 economy on the 13th of February 6th PM 7:30 PM
and it's reading that, and it's making perfect sense. And let's go in to explore the layout. So we'll go back to the tools menu.
Apply corrections.
And go up.
Show explore layout.
And look
open
at how this
is
laid out.
The page contains 24 text regions and 5 pictures.
All right. And now we can just have a look at them.
Text region 1 contains one line. It is underneath picture 1. It begins with he ticket that takes care of itself.
So I imagine that what's happened there is that there's a logo, which will be picture 1, probably, the New Zealand logo, and then the ticket that takes care of itself will be a big heading.
Text region 2 contains 5 lines. It is to the right of text region 1. It begins with a New Zealand Limited Private Bag 92007, Auckland, New Zealand.
So there's its letterhead.
Text region 3 contains one line. It is underneath text region 1. It begins with itinerary and receipt.
And we can continue to explore that layout, but the text is here, and if I want to save that PDF file now in a format that's more available to me, I can go to the file menu, choose send to, and dump it as a grade 2 Braille file onto my Braille note, so that it's with me when I travel in case I have any queries about the flight number, something goes wrong with their computer and I need the reference number. It's all there on the Braille note, and that originally started life as a PDF document. And now it's a grade 2 braille file. And as I say, and most important to emphasize, that even if it was an image that the Adobe 5 reader wouldn't present to a blind screen reader user, then it will do it just fine in Kurzweil 1000. Now, for this to work, you are going to have the Adobe Acrobat Reader on your system. I may be wrong about this, but I think what's happening is that the Adobe Acrobat Reader is being launched or shelled out to in some way, that the file is loaded in there, and then there's a virtual printer driver that somehow prints the image, and Kurzweil 1000 intercepts that. But whatever it is, you do need the Adobe Reader on your system, and Kurzweil 1000 will take care of the rest. And that is a tour of the Kurzweil 1000. It's obviously of necessity a cursory glance at everything because it's a pretty fully fledged application. My only real major issue with it is that I'd like to see the, as I've said, the use of control names such as edit boxes and list views for those who are familiar with Windows, and a little bit more adherence to Windows conventions. But by and large, I think this is a great application, not only because of what it does, but also because on any occasion that I've had to get technical support for Kurzweil 1000, I've always found it a pleasant experience. I enjoy getting new versions regularly. And, you know, this product hasn't been out that long. Maybe, I'm guessing here, but I think about 1995, maybe early 96, and it's already up to version 6.0, and the development continues. They work prolifically on this thing, and the feature set is a testimony to that. They tend to be responsive to user needs. They have a list for Kurzweil users where you can have input, and you do get responses on a very regular basis from the people that write the code. And that's becoming all too sadly uncommon in this industry. So I give it a huge thumbs up. You can find out more by going to www.kurzweiledu.com. That's www.kurzweiledu.com. Well worth checking out.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all of the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen, inviting you to join us again for another Main Menu.